Thank you.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 12th of August 2019. We have Dennis, Ajay, Desalan, Gaurav, Mariana, and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad. We don't have an agenda, but really what needs to be done is really simple. First one in order is to confirm the report on public comments. That was shared last week. We gave the study group opportunity to edit and send comments. We didn't hear any comments on those. I'm just for closure, can we, I'm gonna stop sharing, but Sarma, can we put that on screen?
Sure,
we'll give
stop sharing
5 minutes.
That, I can hear
yep.
It.
Final reading and we should release those. I mean, really the comments were most in support of the report, a few observations that we need to address, but not material in substance. So we should get that out of the way so that we can focus on finalizing the recommendations report. And Sarma is looking for that document and we'll see it soon on our screen. There you go. Thank you. And yeah, and this is the one with a few of my edits. I think minor edits, most I think typos and
right. So I sent this copy around just now. In case you want to take a look at it, it should be in your mailbox as well. I just resent it so that it's on the top of your mailbox. Let me know if you want to jump to a particular section. Otherwise, you can probably read the version you have in with you as well. So just let me know if you want to jump to a particular section.
Yeah, I don't have any particular comment to go to. So. Anyone on the chat? Do you guys have any questions as far as either the comments or our response? Okay, so hearing none, let's, you guys have a few, I'll be give you guys, you know, you can go through this until my midday today if you have a final observation comments, but that should be it. I don't want us to spend more time on the public comments report. Let's focus on our time on the final report, which is the important thing for us to focus on. All right, thank you, Sarma. So everybody has the latest. Again, this was shared last week, but we'll give 3 more hours. So noon on Washington DC, we'll just close the comments, observations, and then we'll ship it on the ICANN website. All right, so let me share back my screen to see the final report. This one. There you go. Okay, so how do I? Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Do you see my screen now?
Yes.
Yes, we see.
All right. Thank you. And I think the way we can work this out, since you already have, since you have now the report on public comments, we could just we'll browse or we go through using that report in order to follow on the final recommendations paper. So we start on integration panel number, integration panel comment number one. It's about section 3.2, okay? So you have been, since it's easier for me just to share one screen for real estate and you have a sizable reading screen, you follow your public comment report, and then on screen I will share the final recommendations paper. Okay, so 3.2. So I think what they wanted to do is to just reinforce and make no ambiguity as to that the Russo LGR is the single source for validation of TLD strings and the calculation of their variance if applicable. So we need to fix that here. Okay, so let me do, I'm suggesting mode. So Sarma, how you, when you, we were thinking about this, the heading of 3.2, I mean, this is descriptive as to, it, of course, this is biased towards new ETLDs. I'm not sure whether in the fast track process, the label self-identification of binary TLDs, that's a known term. Not sure how, without being this, how you rephrase this or find another term that actually describes the.
So one possibility is to just put variance in double quotes.
Variance in what? Sorry.
Put the variant in double quotes.
Oh, okay.
If that works,
I think it could be read as, you know, we're not really using the banyan as in the roots on LGR, but something that there's a nuance there.
We would then need to do the variants in the second. There's another one in the second line.
Okay, and I remember talking about this last sentence. Is it not clear here? That those.
Right. So address is not clear. I guess are we saying we fuse them?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, you're suggesting we need to be more clear as to what exactly
they need to do. Because address
actually
means one could accept them as well. And IP is, I think that's what's probably why IP is raising it, because address can actually be interpreted either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Address is not as clear cut, right? It's ambiguous as to, yeah, we address it, but really further it would need to be determined how to. so maybe more in the direct.
Direct
line. Yes, Mirjana, go ahead.
Just read the first sentence of the IP comment. They said that those self-identified variants are not. That to their knowledge, self-identified variants are not being delegated. So, we have to say the same thing in a different way. That's my understanding of their comment. Not to leave the situation that those self-identified variants could be delegated. I think that's something what they don't like.
True, but that's not quite accurate, right? There are labels that are known to be variants today. I mean, and the notion of variant is not new, right? So mm-hmm. in the Chinese, there has been a lot of knowledge built on that labels. And the reason we have a Section 3.2 is because there is precedence as to the self-identification of variants for new utility applications as well as fast track, but also there are labels, variant labels, known to be variant labels that mm-hmm. are delegated today. For example, are the Chinese, the Hong Kongese, and the Taiwanese CCTLDs, right? They're not called variants. They are called, they're just delegated TLDs, and they were delegated with the notion that they are going to be managed as a synchronized TLDs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody knew that there were variants, and that's why they would, I mean, those organizations asked for those TLDs because they were the same TLD for them, just in different words on the same script. But I mean, officially, they were not using variants, they were using synchronized TLDs, but I mean,
yeah. Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. No, thank you for reminding us as to, you know, the context of this this section here. So IP, IP is looking through the lenses of new UTLDs, and that's true. I mean, self-identified variants in the new UTLD world and most of the fast track CCID and CCTLDs are not delegated, but there are a few of those that were, you know, delegated in a very special and very, you know, narrow framework, if you will.
This is Sarmad. I suggested some text in the chat if you want to.
Oh, okay. Yep. So let's go through this. Further self-identified variant labels that do not conform with the original definition should not be considered as variant TLD labels, and it will need to be determined how to address such labels.
So the reason I put the last bit there is that the first bit is there saying that, okay, they're not variants. Now the point comes that TLD applicants have identified them, and therefore somehow the policy needs to address it. It's not a technical thing anymore. Technically, we are saying that they should not be considered as variants, but we are saying that we cannot tell the SOs how to deal with it from a policy perspective.
Yeah, I agree that. Yeah, we don't enter the policy. That the policy will need to determine what to do, right? But again, right, the Routesong LGR, the scope of our work is to how to use the Routesong LGR. The LGR will determine the variant labels for the valid TLDs and how those are managed. That's up for policy to resolve. So
the reason sorry to interrupt. The reason I'm saying that is because the policy may say that these should then be transferred into reserved labels or something else, or they may want to free them up for further new applications, or they want, you know, so that's up to really them how they address it. But as far as we are concerned, we're saying they should not be concerned, or they must not be considered, or should not be considered as variants. I think that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I think that's just as far as we can go, right? They can no longer be, or they if there was any notion of self-adjudication of variants or whatever, that's not longer the case, because this the only authoritative source to define variants is going to be the rules on LGR. If that is the only source of truth, then nothing should be called a variant unless it was calculated and validated by the truth on LGR. I think that, yeah, we are in those, I think, yeah, this text, let's see, let's put it here. Yep. And AJ, I suggest, how about replace address to conclusively resolve? The only reservation, AJ, that I have with conclusively resolved is that we would need to suggest what conclusively would, you know, entail. And sometimes policy does not work that way. I think when we stay on addressing, I mean, they have to address it, meaning they have to resolve something, but it's up to them how to do it. Thank you, AJ. The silent states, we need to suggest that there needs to be a policy consideration on how to. Yes, yeah, the silent, I agree. And that's the spirit of the last part of it. All right, it's what we are concluding is that these self-identified variants within quotes are not variant TLDs, right? In the formal definition when the Rotson LGR is adopted. And anything else that is called a variant before the Rotson LGR needs to go through this process, right? And they need to determine how to deal with those that do not conform anymore.
This is Sarmat, I'd like to come in the queue as well, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So with regards to policy, I think I want to quickly respond to Desalin. And that is that the SOs may actually decide that it is not really a policy thing and it's just an implementation thing. And they say that for example, they can ask ICANN to, clean up the or empty the wait list based on rules on LGR. And so I'm not, so it may actually be a policy thing. It actually could also be a implementation thing based on how SOs want to deal with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. Okay, any other comments on this one? I think we are good. And we don't have to be 100% good now. We'll go through this. We have a rough, a draft of it. And I know we are working real time here. So we will have time for us to ingest and, you know, think about the wording that we want to use. But at least we have something to work on, to react on, today and the rest of the week. Okay. And to set expectations, I would like to finalize this by the following week. I don't think Again, the comments are not, you know, so much on the substance of it, just, you know, on the edges to polish those. So I don't think we should spend a lot of time resolving those comments. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Comment number two from IP, this focuses on recommendation four. And recommendation four, let's scroll down here. Let me see, yep. Okay, so this is the case where Rootsang LGR is a label, an entire label is not supported, right? There is a issue with the label, whether it's a contextual rule or validation rule or code point code point that is not included in the repertoire. Okay, so what they suggest is, yeah, so one is that relaxing, I mean, context rules is one of the items that could be changed in order to address those validation issues. Okay, this might need more of, let's see if we really need to work the way they deal with it. So what are we missing here? So first and foremost, we're missing the contextual rules, right? So let's see. So we have four items here. One is a label could be invalid per the rules on LGR because it's, I'm sorry. The ways this could be, and how can you make an invalid label valid per the rules on LGR? Well, one, you have to look at conformance of IDNA 2008, right? Applicant cannot ask or request a code point that is not IDNA 2008 valid be incorporated into the rules on LGR. So that's a no-no. Conformance with the LGR procedure. Okay, so that's another one. I think that should be clear. Then exclude the code point from MSR, exclude the code point from LGR. So I think we would need to add a fifth item to address the context rules.
This is Sarmad. Can I make a comment?
Sure.
Okay, so I think probably when we say 4.1 conformance to IDNA 2008, IDNA 2008 actually also has some contextual rules, which is not mentioned in 4.1. Basically, a label can be non-conformant with IDNA 2008 standard if it contains a code point which is not included. So if it contains a disallowed or unassigned code point, or even if it includes all the code points which are, for example, p-valid or contexto, but it violates one of the rules which are stipulated in IDNA 2008. In RFC 5892, with them, there are some rules, and then there are maybe a few rules in one other RFC. Would it? I think we would probably need to beef up 4.1 to cover that missing part where conformance to IDNA 2008 actually means more than what we have written. Thank you.
Got it. And building on that, Sarman, I think there's, and I think IP, or I read it somewhere else, IDNA 2008 and the LGR procedure specifically, I think it's drawing the MSR from a specific Unicode version of it, right? And we know that Unicode versions may change certain properties of code points. And in one Unicode version, a code point could have a contextual rules. Later versions, that contextual rule may be removed, and that works as well as properties. So if someone wants to challenge the roots and LGR as to code point inclusion, which one is going to be the standard? Right? Should we want to incorporate some of that language as well? Yeah, and go ahead.
So, just knowing, I guess, Unicode has a very strong stability clause, which requires these properties to be very stable. So I think the case you're suggesting is really on the edge. If there is, and so I don't think we need to probably worry about those cases, because those cases are not going to be normal cases, just because of the stability clause. So Unicode's sort of been very hard on not changing anything which actually they have encoded already. As I said, there may have been some examples, but with the passage of times, those kind of examples are becoming very, very rare. And then in addition, I think, so the IDNA 2008 is sure. So I guess currently IDNA 2008 has already been updated to a later version of Unicode. MSR 4 is still based on 6.3, but I think we are now working on MSR 5, and we intend to update it to the latest version of latest or relevant version of Unicode as well. I'm not sure whether it's going to be 9 or 10 or 11 or even 12, depends on IP what they think is a stable version. So in any case, I think these things will change over next. MSR will certainly get updated. We are planning to do it early next year, so in about 6 months. So that will reasonably catch up with the latest version. IDNA 2008 actually is an algorithm. So whatever the latest version of Unicode is, it gets applied to it. And because of the stability reason, I think we can reasonably assume that properties will remain unchanged, unless it's a very rare case. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarman. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, yeah, there is a strong preservation of the properties, and yeah, I mean, just came to mind because I knew of a recent case of a code point that changed contextual rules, and that's why there was a case calling to our customer service saying, "Hey, well, why are this code point is not handled this way or that way?" And looking at history, turned out to be that in 6.3, that code point had a contextual rule, and in the latest version, that the other the one that called us was looking at was in version 10, I think, something like that. So yeah, and the difference was because of the properties. But again, yeah, it might be just those edge cases, and so we don't have to worry about those. One part is that one. I mean, contextual rules, and the other part is that it suggests it's the how we reorder these, priorities. I think when we started here, we meant as going like higher level. We talk about the IDNA 2008 standard and work through all the steps, but I think they are suggesting something different, right? Or maybe not. I'm not sure here. Well, they do suggest to restructure Section 4.
So I think they're probably asking to just simplify it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that will require a little bit more time. I don't want to do that here. So let's see how we can address this without altering too much of what we already work on. If it's not, you know, as important. But I think the main part, Sarma, can we go back to your comment? So it's on the conformance part of the identity design and how we this not can you suggest a text here? I mean, or you don't have to do it here, but I think as long as we capture that so that we can rework this.
Let me just think through this. Just give me a minute.
Thank you. So I'm just going to put a note here.
Just a very simple idea saying, why don't we just say that an applied for label not conforming to IDNA 2008 must not proceed? That encompasses everything.
Yeah, I think so. Anybody else? Any observations, comments? All right. AJ agrees. Let's move on. And we'll come back to this, whether we can restructure these 4 points and maybe merge into fewer items or the reordering those. We'll see how that goes. All right, so moving on. IP comment number 3, IP agrees with recommendation 5, option A, but strongly disagree with option B. Okay, so this one on B, what we discuss is to, we're going to leave option A here in the main body. That's the study group's recommendation. And we move option B and C to A appendix. So let me do this first. Or maybe just do everything to the appendix. I'm going to move option B, C. Okay. I'm going to copy first so that we don't miss that, and we'll put it, we have already an appendix A, we have an appendix B, we might want to restructure this. Okay, so I think the first one showing up, it's, so we are going to reuse appendix A for this stuff. Okay. This is going to be our new appendix A. This is going to be appendix B. And this is going to be appendix C. And we'll have to work on some intro paragraph and maybe be more narrative as to build more narrative as to the options and the rationale behind those options. And here on the main body of the recommendations report, we remove option B and C because we are going to explain those in the appendix. And we will point readers go to the appendix to okay. And we will need to rework the wording here so that everything flows nicely. But basically, that's how we are going to finalize this section five, right? Just as a background, remember we thought about three processes taking into account possible, you know, how the community will react to this option because it's once the rules on AGR is adopted, there are going to be certain scripts that are not yet in support. How do we deal with those, right? So it was important for us to lay out all the options, but of course, recommending one that it complies or conforms with the principles of our work. And option A was the one, so we're going to finalize our report based on that. And the others we will capture for explanation and rationale motivations. All right, I think that's for comment number 3. Next one, IP comment number 4. This is about the Valiant stuff. Let's see if we can. Let's take a moment to read through the comment. Yeah, I think what we wanted to do is just to bring some of the examples that are out there at the second level. But that's I think, as far as we can go, just to point people to other resources for them to get information as to how others are managing this. Any other observations? Yes.
So this is Sarmad.
Yes, Sarmad.
So
go ahead.
I think currently the study group seems like neutral to this point. Just pointing to different sources. I guess what IP is saying is that study group may suggest that this should be minimized, even if they don't have a mechanism and they think it's a policy decision on how to actually do it. I think they're saying that maybe the study group can say more than being just neutral about it. So that's for the study group to consider. So, for example, does study group support that idea?
Got it. Anybody? AJ, Bethlehem, Gaurav, Mirjana, any observations as to this topic of variant labels? I mean, how many variants is too many, or what exactly, Gaurav, are you agreeing to? Oh, that we talk about it already? So we remain neutral? Is that what you're suggesting, AJ? Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, any number is arbitrary. I mean, I think we briefly discussed it last time, and what is too many, right? In certain cases, one is already too many because of how the script behaves and how many variant coupons, variant labels you made. Calculate based on those relationships. So not sure if we have the knowledge and resources in order to come up with something different. Okay, so what I'm hearing is, remain neutral. Vesaling, yes, Mirjana, yes, yeah. Go ahead.
I think we should leave as it is, because we can't give any kind of recommendation how many variants will be or should be suitable. That's a huge amount of time should be spent to investigate the situations and give any reasonable proposal. Only thing what we can do, I think we can remove the last sentence and leave it like this. Thank you.
Oh, you're saying even remove the reference to the...
Yeah. So they can't say anything when we remove this sentence.
Okay, so that's because one approach.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Mirjana. Finish your thought.
I will just repeat what I have said. Let's go on.
Thank you, Mirjana. So the Salen, you last time suggested to apply GNSS way to proposing numbers. I think you were referring to the 1,000 number of delegation into the root zone. That's a slightly different issue, but maybe I got it wrong. Can you again refer, because I don't think the GNSS has any policy on to, you know, variant labels. So can you explain a little bit more, elaborate into this way that you're referring to, please?
Okay, this is Dasalik speaking. If I'm not wrong, in the first round of the new GTLD program, I think the GNSO proposed some numbers like around 1,000 generic names. Well, for the phase one, probably, I don't know. So we may consider this as a policy issue. Well, that's one approach. Otherwise, knowing the complexity of the application process and the approval process, proposing some numbers, rough numbers, might not be, I think, it could be a good thing to suggest some numbers, some rough numbers, range.
I would be reluctant to give a number, a discrete number, without any justification of it. I mean, why one, why two, why 10, right? So
I think the next round of the new GTLD program will be done in a phased manner. So I suggest it's important to propose some numbers because nobody can do that apart from us. We have relatively better knowledge of the situation than the policy people.
This is Sarmad. I'd like to come in.
Yes, Sarmad, please go ahead.
Right. So I guess I'll also like to elaborate on these numbers. So that we're talking about actually two different sets of numbers. One number is what Desalin is referring to, which is how many TLDs actually can be delegated into the root zone in a year. And I think last time based on root zone studies, it was suggested, as Desalin was sharing, that no more than 1,000 TLDs should be delegated in 1 year. So about 2 to 3 labels per day, I guess, if you average it out, should be delegated into the root zone. And I think that was more focused on the stability of the root zone database itself. Here, actually, the numbers which are being referred to are not primarily from a stability point of view of the root zone, but from more from a usability and management perspective for the registrant and registrars, I guess, where the issue is that if you have, let's say, 10 top level domains, and then you, for the second label, there are another 10 variant labels, then you get 10 into 10, which is 100 variant labels for a registrant. And the registrant is obviously going to get very confused about it and on how to handle or manage 100 different labels where he or she only applied for a single label. So I think that's where ESSAC is coming from. So from ESSAC, it's more of a usability, manageability challenge, which I think they're saying needs to be addressed, which is slightly different, I guess, from the stability of root zone, I guess, discussion, though at, if for some reason there is a policy which asks all variant TLDs to be delegated, the two can then eventually get interconnected as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yes, and that's correct, two different numbers. So I think the sentiment is that we remain neutral. I tend to remain neutral as well. But I mean, we'll give it a thought, and you as well, please, and see if we can within the scope of our work whether we can rephrase this in a different way or add a something different or something new. But we'll see. Okay.
This is Sarmad. In case we're going then that direction, would you still want to keep the last sentence in the public comment response, or you would like to take that out?
Let's see.
It says SG will consider providing some technical input for policy development to consider if possible.
Well, if possible, we're qualifying that if possible. I think we're going to give it some thoughts. And if possible, we'll come up with we'll come up with some technical input. But we need time, right? We cannot rationalize here right now, I guess. So I don't think we have to, be continued. We were already qualified that if possible we're gonna do it. So I think we will stay true to our comments.
Okay.
Thank you. But good point. All right, so moving on to next item, I think that's maybe we'll squeeze in two more. IP comment number 5, so it refers to the root zone LGR address as a single XML file. It should be addressed as it consists multiple XML files. Okay, so yeah, that's well noted. So yeah, we just need to, as we go through this document, be mindful of the root zone LGR is not just one XML, but a combination of script LGRs and then merged to one for different purposes. So we just need to, take that into account. So that was easy. Yep, somebody wants to.
Yeah, this is Sarman. I think while we are at it, it's just a terminology thing again. I pointed it out earlier. I'd actually had a discussion with IANA PTI, and they suggested changing PTI/IANA terminology to just IANA. in this document.
Yep.
So that's just also like, yeah, change, find, replace, change, which we need to do.
Let's do that now. Thank you, Sarma. Yep, I remember you mentioning that. Okay, IP comment number 6. Okay, the footnote, that's easy to do. Footnote number 10, which is here. All right, yeah. So the footnote 10 should move to here. There you go. And this one, we don't have an 11. Yep, should go. All right, that was easy. Then we were moving quickly here. Let's see, next one, number 7. On 11, okay. Oh yeah, so they were commenting about the backward compatibility, and the reason we talk about backward compatibility is not because of the LGR procedure, but SAC 060, and what we want to do is to add this reference in order to make it clear where we are drawing our recommendation language.
May I make a quick comment here?
Absolutely, Sarma, go ahead.
So I think IP would still not consider the recommendation because they consider themselves very strictly bound to the LGR procedure. So anything which is outside the LGR procedure, they think it's out of their scope. So I think the statement currently says that GPs and IP should make root zone LGR backward compatible. Even if we say that it is because of the SAC recommendation, they would consider that out of scope because, as I said, they strictly bind themselves to the, I guess, scope of what the LGR procedure asks them to do. So we would need to then term it in a way that it somehow, suggests that, but doesn't, and it can maybe point to GP because GP is obviously less formal in that context, but I would probably, IP would still be uncomfortable being put in this situation because they, as I said, they would not be able to address it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Noted. Okay, so we need to incorporate this language here. I'll not do it now so that we can have time to squeeze more on the comments here. I'm just going to copy paste. Oh, these two here. And also note Sarma's comment on IP's views. Okay, so moving on. So we went through IP comments, and now we have two more sets of comments. One is from the Registered Stakeholder Group. I think there are only three of those. Number one, really nothing to do on the report itself. I think our response is just sufficient. And that's it. Number two, yeah, it goes back to section 3.2. I'm sorry, 3.1. Yep, again, when we need to revise that section, so we'll take this into account. And the registered stakeholder group comment number 3, it's support for option A. Option A of section 5. So I think we already have that option this is the recommended by the study group, so all good. And then, so those are the three comments from registered shareholder group three, registered shareholder group. So, and those were already, we already look at those from the integration panel perspective. And then, so moving on to the last section of comments is from individual Mark Blanchett. Coincidentally, he also belongs to the integration panel. So some of these, his comments were incorporated to a later version of the integration panel comments. So there's some repetition. So we're not going to readdress those. For example, comment number one is the same as the integration panel comment number one. So comment number two is about the Unicode version. So that's where I remember reading. So yeah, so maybe our latest revision of that section of IDNA 2008 on section four already, you know, removed all these ambiguity about version control, but I'll just go over it one more time and see whether it warrants to include it or just, you know, keep it as it is now. I see a comment on the Salen AGR procedure is the overriding factor in the study group's work. In fact, it's one of our principles. Yes, Salen, well, what was the comment about? Sorry, I may be reading this late, but I just want to understand the context of your comment.
Was this around the backward compatibility discussion we were doing?
Yes. This is the sense. Yeah. It was about the backward compatibility issue.
Which compatibility issue?
The backward.
Oh, the backward compatibility.
Yeah.
So yes. No, and that's true, right? LGR procedure is one of the four principles, and I think I scrolled the screen up to the principles section. So number one is the security and stability of the root zone, right? And SAC 060 may well be along those lines. And then we have the LGR procedure as well. So we have a to balance all these principles in a way that conforms to our work. LGR procedure is not the only one, but it's one of those factors. And that's why we brought other sources of information in order to inform our recommendations.
This is Sarmad. May I make a comment?
Yes, Sarmad, please go ahead.
So I think just going back to IP's comment, and now also I think what Desalin is saying, I'm just thinking that there are two sort of, there's a subtle difference. There are two points, two ways we can say this. One is that we, that the GPA and IP consider the existing TLD database or TLDs delegated. And the other, I think, reading of it is that GPs and IPs should accommodate the existing TLDs. So I guess as far as considering the TLDs is concerned as input data or test data, so that things which are not matching, if we can explicitly point them out in public comment, I think that was the intention. But I'm just thinking, at least from my recall, from what I recall from our discussion, But I'm just thinking that the way we've written it, does it imply that we are not actually asking them to use it as test data so that it can be pointed out? But maybe we've gone further and maybe implying that it must be accommodated. And because if it is getting accommodated, then we are not getting binding ourselves from the LGR procedure. Because if LGR procedure is saying that it should not be allowed, then, you know, even we, then we should not try to change the XML LGR to accommodate that proposal, to just to make it backward compatible. So I guess I just wanted to maybe highlight that there are two readings of it. And I think we intended the former reading, but maybe people are thinking that we are intending the latter reading. And if that is the case, then maybe we want to clarify our language. Thank you.
That's a fair comment. Yes, we'll try to rework it. Yeah, but we are, I mean, the fundamental thing is that we need to balance different aspects of it. So, but yes. So we are 1 minute beyond the top of the hour, so we'll close the meeting now. We have enough material to finalize this report, so I'll work this with Sarmat, and please be on the lookout for the revised report, or you know what is going to be our final report. And I hope you you can get some time to read it and provide your comments, observation, and we'll revise those. We'll review the revised version on next Monday. Okay, any last thoughts, comments, observations? All right, so without, before we go, please, in 2 hours' time, we'll close the comments on the public comment report, and if we hear nothing or we see nothing on the main list, we'll just close it as is, and Sama will be free to ship it for publishing. Okay? All right, guys. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon next week.
Bye. Bye, all.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.